on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Last year, they were kicking ass and taking names, but this year, the Dodgers bullpen is sucking ass and blowing games, Brandon.
Dude, you said it, sister. My God, it is a rough ride. 10 blowies for my boy Tanner Scott, 26 for the Dodgers in the year of our Lord 2025, Jesse Rowe. Oh, we're back with another foul tasting episode of Deferred Collusion.
I thought you were going to say another
colored boys.
I thought you were going to say another foul territory.
Not at all, sir. Okay. A foul tasting episode. Yeah. Another freaking defeat snatched from the jaws of victory by the Dodgers bullpen. Jesse Rowe, Deferred Collusion. How are you feeling?
I'm, you know, all things considered, I'm doing great. Dodgers have a playoff spot clinched. You know, they're not going to get the bye week. They're not going to be the 1 or 2 seed. So the division doesn't feel as meaningful this year, I guess, because we're not going to be in that 1 or 2 seed getting the bye week. But
yeah.
You know, regardless, I'm still happy, Brandon, but I'm just very disappointed and annoyed and frustrated with how yesterday's game went, because you mentioned it's the 10th blown save for Tanner Scott. We're going to talk about it, but it just feels like this team could be so much better and should be so much better, but maybe this is who they are. I don't, you know, let's find out. Let's dig into it. Because yesterday, the Dodgers had the makings of a very exciting, very great night for the team, with Shohei Ohtani pitching 6 scoreless innings, and you know, probably his most complete outing of the season since coming back from pitching injury and building his way up throughout the season. And the Dodger bullpen comes in and immediately blows it. I mean, just immediately, with a 4-0 lead, they give up 3 runs. Jack Dreyer and Enriquez gives up. That's going to be a little bit hard, to be honest. What's his name? Now I'm blanking on his name. Edgardo Henriquez. Sorry. Yeah.
Now you got me saying Enrique Hernandez. I'm
like, yeah. Edgardo Henriquez. He gave up a run too, but, and then of course the boogeyman of the 2025 season, not named Michael Conforto, Tanner Scott, comes in and blows the save, his 10th save of the year. Pretty frustrating night. And you know, that put the Dodgers back down to 1.5 game lead in the division. The Padres just lost. We're recording this before tonight's game against the Diamondbacks, so you'll probably be watching this by the time that game starts. But Brandon, before we really get into the deep dive of the numbers, I made a video about my frustration yesterday. I don't know where you were at when you were watching the game.
Oh man, well, Yeah, Jess, I'm glad you asked about my glasses. These are actually, I'm feeling a lot of heartbreak right now. I'm wearing my daughter's heart glasses. She'll be two soon. But yeah, Jess,
Brandon, I've known you so long that it didn't even like cross my mind why you were wearing those glasses. Like, thanks, I just, man. Yeah.
I appreciate that. But yeah, Jess, I'm feeling the heartbreak today.
Okay.
I had to go to bed early, so I left as Tanner Scott had the lead still, and I was listening to the radio as I was getting ready for bed around 9:30 or whatever it was. And, oh, just awful. Awful to hear it via the radio. You can hear the just utter frustration on the call. Jess, it's one of those things that, like, we've been champions of a productive Tanner Scott is like a weather vane for the success of this team in October, right? It has not worked out. It has not worked out all season. He has looked bad. He's looked bad even in good stretches, right? We've had to kind of like fight for him. But there is just no arguing it now. The walks are insane. I heard Jerry Harrison Jr. going off about pitch selection and throwing a pitch in regards to the walk-off hit last night seven times to a big league hitter. And, you know, it was like a 90-mile-an-hour slider that didn't really break right down the middle. It's a non-competitive pitch, and I think that's the most frustrating thing. On top of, you know, blowing however many starts for Yamamoto, on top of blowing leads that weren't in the ninth inning, it's just bad. And what's scarier is it feels like, hey, man, this is late September. Is this really what the team is made of? Is this what we have left in our bullpen? And, like, you know, before I go all doom and gloom, shouts out Alex Vesia coming in, getting the heart of that lineup out, getting Marte, getting Carroll, leaving, you know, the damage where it was and putting us with an opportunity to win the game and going into the ninth. Vesia is the only guy I think I really trust right now in the ninth, but he's also really the only guy I kind of feel like I trust in a high leverage situation. I don't know what that means for Trinan. Right. I don't know what that means for guys like Robleski or Hernandez, like we were talking about. There's a lot of good stuff. We'll get into it on paper, but it has not shown up, and I feel like time's kind of running out. I mean, hey, they got Roki back. This is desperation. Yeah. This is desperation mode.
Roki's back today. Did they activate him?
They did. And the corresponding move was to move Kirby Yates onto the injured list.
Yeah.
Kirby Yates got off to a good little start with the Dodgers, but it seems like it only lasted about a month. He's been tagged for a home run, and I think almost every one of his like last like five or six appearances, it's just been bad. So if he really is injured, I'm not surprised. If this is more of a way to say like, hey, we're not going to have you on the playoff roster, and you can kind of go out with some dignity, you know, maybe that there's that too.
Yeah.
But who knows, man? This pen has been so unhealthy, you know. Who knows if we actually may need him in the damn pen in October.
Yeah.
Dude, that sucks.
So, I agree with you about Vesia, and I think that the biggest problem with making Vesia the closer, because I think that you and I both agree at this point, I think most Dodger fans see the writing on the wall that, like, Tanner Scott cannot be the closer in October, and that's not because we aren't rooting for Tanner Scott to be good. Like, we have to root for him to be good. I saw some comments on a video I made yesterday of people saying, like, you're rooting for him, like, don't be soft, blah blah blah, he's been fucking terrible, blah blah blah. Like, I'm rooting for him. They paid him a lot of money. He's on the team. We need him to be good. Like, yes, I am rooting for him to be good. And I think it's like, but I'm also acknowledging that he cannot be a high leverage reliever or closer anymore. Like, until his, because his confidence is gone, it's cooked, it's MIA, it's not coming back anytime soon. So until further notice, he cannot be a high leverage reliever or closer on this team, or we are not going to win the World Series. And in terms of who replaces him in the ninth, I mean, I know that Vesia feels like an obvious choice with the struggles of Blake Treinen, who has not been any better. Treinen is responsible for five of the Dodgers' last six losses. So it's not just Tanner Scott here.
Yeah.
And but the problem for me with Vesia being in the ninth is, like you mentioned, he's our most – I don't trust anybody else in a high-leverage moment right now.
Yeah.
And there are going to be high-leverage moments in, like, the seventh, sixth, eighth inning where you're
– Yeah.
Where, I'm going to want to see Alex Vesia in those spots. So, you know, I do have – another thought on who could potentially fill in for the Dodgers' closing duties, particularly in October. But just to get into these numbers a little bit here, because it's so much worse than you might realize. I know if you pay attention to this team day in, day out, you're like, oh, they have a 1.5 game lead. It can't be that bad. The Dodgers' bullpen has 96 meltdowns this season. And what meltdowns mean is that when a pitcher's performance significantly harms the team's chances of winning. 96. That's a franchise record for the Dodgers. So we're talking about a team in first place, 1.5 or 2-game lead, and they have a franchise record for most bullpen meltdowns in a season. That's a testament to how good this team could be. Because I think we would assume that, like, some of those meltdowns might actually have been some, there's some bad luck involved there too. So 26 blown saves for the Dodgers bullpen on the season. Mm. Take away 10 of those, they have the best record in baseball. Mm. Tanner Scott, since the All-Star break, 8.18 ERA, 11 innings pitched, 11 hits, 10 runs, 9 walks, 8 strikeouts. Treinen has 5 of the Dodgers' last six losses.
Before we move on, I just want to talk about that number real quick, dude.
Yeah.
The walks to strikeouts for Scott. I believe you said it was 9 walks to 8 strikeouts over 11 innings. Mm-hmm. That is not the guy the Dodgers signed in the offseason.
No.
Right? They were like, we're getting Shohei's kryptonite off the market. We saw what he did against us. Wow, we're going to have somebody just punching tickets. We got, I don't know who this is wearing Tanner Scott's skin.
Yeah. But
boy, it's not what was advertised, dude. This is Timu.
He's pitching. Scott. Yep. He's pitching like a guy who knows he's about to blow the game. That's what he feels like out there. That's where his confidence is at. It's like he doesn't seem surprised anymore when it happens. He's had so many of these post-game interviews where he's taken blame for the losses. And at a certain point, it's like, dude, Dave, Doc, you can't keep doing this to the guy. You just can't keep doing it. And I know you want him to pitch himself out of it, but, like, we got 5 games left in the season, bro. We're barely holding on for the division. And the big part of the reason why that is because this guy has not performed. And who could we potentially turn to close games? I know that the Dodgers are traditionally mix and match. Since the departure of Kenley Jansen, they have essentially become more of like a mix and match bullpen closer by committee type of team. And we saw how successful that was last year. But you still need somebody that you rely on, whereas last year that guy was Blake Treinen for the most part, but you know the Dodgers still used him in very specific situations in the playoffs, not just as a closer. So I have a thought about potentially a guy that the Dodgers could bring in, and I'm thinking that with the fact that this guy's not going to have a chance to start in the postseason most likely, because you've got Glasnow, Yamamoto, Snell, and now Shohei Ohtani's looking like he's ready to be unleashed for a starting spot. What do you do with Emmett Sheehan, dude, who's been arguably one of your top 3 pitchers over the past month and a half? I think he has a great argument to be the Dodgers' closer or high-leverage reliever come playoff time, not just a long reliever, a guy that the Dodgers can trust in big moments, because I don't, other than Alex Vesia, man, I don't really trust anybody else who's going to be coming out of the bullpen to get the biggest bats out in the biggest moments.
Man, that's a great take. I mean, I really like it. I think there's another fish out there. Another fish to fry, as they say, dude. You know, just thinking about with the availability of Yamamoto basically being a once-a-week pitcher, you know, you still got Snell, Glasnow, Shohei, you know, Kershaw, and Sheehan, like you said. I kind of start wondering, you know, Shohei's talked a lot about his flexibility and, you know, openness to playing in the outfield. What if he comes out and starts closing games, Jess? What if you see him come out in two appearances in the wild card and come close out against the best hitters on the opposing team? You know, just back to last postseason, Walker Buehler, what would 22 do? You know, I know it's a wild card and not game, you know, five of the game six of the World Series, but you gotta win or go home, right? So I can see a world where Shohei goes, Doc, I can take out their 3-4-5, their 1-2-3. It doesn't matter. Put me in there. I know it might sound a little crazy, but it saves all those pitchers. It saves a starter like Sheehan, who's had success in a starter role all year. Leaves him there. Gives your Hall of Famer, Kershaw, an opportunity to start. You know, maybe have long relief from Sheehan, Shohei, somewhere down the line. But it seems like Shohei...
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
He's been worked up to the from one to now seven innings. I can see him doing three outs. Just saying.
So I of course I could see Shohei coming out of the bullpen at some point. My problem and my biggest problem with this, and I've heard people suggesting it, is like, what do you do if his spot is due up in the order? You know what I mean? Like, you can't have him warming up in the bullpen when his spot is due up in the order. Like, Shohei Ohtani needs to hit. So that's my biggest beef with having him come out of the bullpen late in games. It really depends on where he is in the order. It's going to... the problem is, I don't think you can script for Shohei to be a closer, because you never know when his spot...
A special moment, you think?
Like a Buehler moment. Like him coming out, like where you just know that you need
15,
him.
Yeah,
exactly. It's going to have to be like unscripted. I think that he will be prepared and ready to go for that on a day where he would, if he's like normally going to have a bullpen session that day, well then, yeah, he would, he could come out and pitch out of the bullpen. I like the idea of Shohei being a closer in the playoffs. Shohei being a starter in the playoffs, because I really liked what I saw yesterday, and I think that you have four guys that are aces on any other team. Actually, five. I think Sheehan could be an ace on like 10 of the teams. I think Sheehan would be an ace on like 10 teams in baseball right now.
Yeah,
with the way he's been pitching, so that gives the Dodgers incredible, you know, ladder ability. I don't know if that's a word. They can. Flexibility. They can go a lot of different ways and how they move laterally with how they want to do this. And I like the, you know, Yamamoto only pitches once a week, as you mentioned. Like Shohei, the way he pitched yesterday, you could throw him into the wild card round and save Yamamoto for game one of the division series if you wanted to. Because then you could have Snell going game one, Shohei game two, and then hopefully they sweep, or you pitch Glasnow game three. Or if you go to 1-1 and you don't feel good about Glasnow, then you pitch Yamamoto game three and you move Glasnow to game one of the next series. They have so many different options they could do. And which is why I like Sheehan, because I think that he's he could be used in like mid relief where they need like three innings if Shohei starts and he only goes four innings, something like that. But if you're getting like seven innings from Snell, and then you have a 2-1 game in the ninth inning, I'm sorry, but like, are you going to go with Tanner Scott, Trinan? What if Vesia already pitched the eighth? I like Sheehan in that spot. I think it makes a lot of sense. There are some people saying, though, Brandon, that one Roki Sasaki could be closing games for the Dodgers in October. I heard somebody on MLB Network saying this today. I forget who it was. Before I tell you what my thoughts are on it, I want to hear your thoughts on it.
I don't see it. I don't see into high leverage situations like that. And in fact, thinking about that is why I feel so strongly that Shohei could be a good fit to close out games. Like you were saying, what if he's doing it in the lineup? Well, baby, we're going for a save. We're not playing for three more outs after this. So something to consider there. Anyways, I like the idea of Roki coming in, filling up some innings, you know, maybe a middle reliever eating up like multiple innings, maybe two, even three outs. I'm just cool with just get me a clean inning for the love of God.
Dude,
it makes me excited because he has had some good stuff in the highlights that I'm seeing from his rehabs. But, you know, show it to me. I got to see it.
Yeah. It was so I'm looking at it right now. It was Tom Verducci on MLB Central saying, quote, "I would not be surprised if Roki Sasaki is closer for the Dodgers." And I'm pretty sure I audibly like chuckled. I think it's an absurd suggestion, if I'm being honest. Like I don't even think it's crossing the minds of the Dodgers front office right now to make that even a plan. They need to see what they have with Roki Sasaki over the next five games. Remember, this guy has struggled to even figure out if his arm is healthy enough to pitch in the major leagues right now. And how you want him to close playoffs for the defending champions? Close playoff games for the defending champions? That's an absurd suggestion.
I think it is more of a sign of just like kind of how desperate the Dodgers are for quality, healthy arms.
Yeah, but it's also – it also feels like a boomer take to me, though, a little bit, where it's like – oh, I'm going to – like a clickbaity boomer take that I don't think it's serious and I don't think it should be taken seriously. Like, talk about Tanner Scott's confidence. Roki Sasaki, there are people arguing that he was crying during a baseball game this year after a bad outing, which I debated in my mind whether those were actual tears or if it was just like sweat coming down his face. But like, regardless, like his confidence has been hurt. I think that he's throwing 9,900 miles an hour. He's been pitching one inning for the Dodgers. He's been closing games in the minors, to Tom Verducci's credit. So I do think it's like possible, but I don't think that that's the plan. In no way, shape, or form, I think it's going to be like, oh, if Roki Sasaki is looking nasty and he's getting guys out, then they might start considering throwing him in some high leverage spots. But I just want to see Roki Sasaki be healthy and happy before I want to see him in those spots, because that could do irreparable damage. It could ruin his confidence forever if he comes in and loses a playoff game for the Dodgers, you know?
Jesse, I'm at a point where I could give a damn about Roki's confidence. It's a, you know what, like piss or get off the pot type deal. You're either going to contribute to the championship this year or you're not. Like, there's like we were just talking about with Tanner Scott, there's no more runway. You know, it's fly or fail. We got to get going. Roki, there's a couple games left. Flash your stuff. But if not, brother.
But that's why I'm saying only throw in the guys that you feel like have that BDE right now. You know, they got that moxie going on. Like, Tanner Scott and Roki got none of that. Like, why would you – I don't care how good Roki looks. Like, if he doesn't have that confidence, it's like just don't put him in that situation. Like, put him in a different inning. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's
I feel that. I mean, yeah. I don't think we're going to see Roki in a save situation coming out of the pen. But what do you think about the GOAT himself? Bah, Kirsch, dude. What do you think his role is going to be in October?
I don't see – like, you can't have him close games, obviously. I just think that, you know, he's getting, like, six strikeouts per nine innings this year. You can't have a contact pitcher be your closer in October, I think. You have to be a strikeout pitcher. But I do think he's long relief for sure, like two or three innings of relief, maybe games where, like you mentioned, him and Shohei, they could you know, go run them back to back in a game, you know, righty lefty. They could create some avenues that would be really tough for lineups to figure out how to manage. So I think
Shohei
that
Kershaw goes six, and then Kershaw goes 7-8, and then you have Vesia come in the ninth. Dude, it's perfect.
Yeah, Kershaw could be a great like middle reliever in the playoffs, for especially like if a starter like, you know, Glasnow is only able to go 4 2/3, give up a few runs. Kershaw's a great option to fill in the couple of those innings in the middle. You know, you could see some heroics from Kershaw this October. I think he's gonna go out. He's gonna go out like a champion, win or lose. So,
I fucked with a heavy.
And I think that the Dodgers want to give him another opportunity. You know what I mean? I think they want to give him one more. Since his last year, like you kind of
not going to do it with Blake Treinen and Tanner Scott just throwing fucking frisbees.
Yeah,
it's been sad, to be honest, because Treinen's been our guy, did amazing last postseason, has not been able to replicate that success. And when you know a couple of the linchpins of your bullpen are floundering, you know, we got to have somebody step up. If 22 is going to be in the bullpen, I can see him taking some meaningful innings. I could see him getting a couple of big outs in a, you know, like you said, in a middle reliever role or late in a game. I'm not necessarily saying a save, but I can see him pitching some meaningful outs. Roky, man, I'm interested in his role because I think that Kershaw, you could put him in for a few innings, right, as like a starter. Maybe let him go three and maybe then you throw a Roky. But I don't see Roky going against the top of a lineup, you know, more than once, if at all. I think, like you said, you don't want to nuke his confidence, so you want to put him in situations where he's going to succeed. So it's like specific matchups and moments and et cetera. But
yeah, I think
I'm just excited to have healthy arms back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he could obviously be a major weapon considering what we've seen from him. But, you know, there have been just long stretches of the season where he just didn't look like a major league pitcher to me, you know, at this point in time. So I think to expect a ton from him is unfair, you know, and also just ludicrous to expect. But I do think the Dodgers have good options internally. We don't know when Kopech is supposed to come back, but you know,
or what we could really expect from him. He's only pitched I think like 12 innings this season. It's been very limited, man.
Yeah, but his ERA has been good, but his WHIP has been terrible. He's just had trouble throwing strikes, and he was such a huge part of that championship team last year. So they, you know, they really do need him. There's seemingly no Brusdar Gratterall appearance this season. It seems like that ship has sailed. But you know, I think the Dodgers do have some options. I saw a stat about somebody that's not even really being considered by a lot of Dodger fans, but I do think will be a big part or will be getting some meaningful outs. Will Klein has looked really nice in his outings so far. His stuff looks great. You and I were talking a little bit about it before we recorded. But so there's a website. Hold on, I have it right here. And they do they sort of have their own like ranking systems on pitchers. And they are called – sorry, I have it right here. Sorry, my buddy sends me so many fucking text messages. Pitch Profiler. They say that Will Klein, out of all of Major League Baseball, has the number one pro stuff plus in baseball with a 111. These are the pitchers behind him. And number two is Chase Burns of the Reds, who is ridiculous. If you see this guy's stuff, it's just it's ungodly. Jeremiah Estrada, who's been one of the best relievers in baseball this year for the Padres. Mason Miller, San Diego. Yeah. Aroldis Chapman is number five. Pierce Johnson, Ronnie Henriquez, Jacob Webb, and number 10, Jack Dreyer. So it's not like a super important stat, but it is a predictive stat that's supposed to interpret like velocity, spin rate, location, all these things, and determine outcome. And Will Klein, his predictive outcomes rank better than any other relief pitcher in Major League Baseball. So I do think that the Dodgers value stuff like that, and I do think that they're going to give him some opportunities to get some outs in the postseason. Not that he's going to be a closer, but I do think get used to the name Will Klein in October, because you're going to be seeing him and being like confused as to why he's in there. And that kind of gives you an understanding as to why.
I like that. I've seen him pitch twice this season, once earlier on, once last weekend. He looks good. His stuff plays. Definitely got a live fastball. Seen him hit triple digits. Good breaking ball. Like I said earlier, dude, I'll take anybody healthy, willing, and able that can throw some damn strikes, dude. And not a 90-mile-an-hour slider down the middle of the fucking plate, dude. Tanner, come on.
I know. I looked at the game cast.
Great stop, dude.
I looked at the game cast of that after the game was over, and the pitch was literally like dead center, like a bullseye on a dartboard.
Ugh.
Slider, like you said, 90 miles an hour. It's just an unprofessional pitch, you know, like
non-competitive.
Yeah, and I am genuinely wishing for nothing but the best for Tanner Skye, and that he can figure it out. But you know, I've been probably his staunchest. I don't want to call me a defender, but like you and I think we're like. More patient
level. Yeah, I don't think we've panicked on it, but Jess, that was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah,
and I think every Dodger fan is just about had enough. Dude, I bet even if you're not a Dodger fan, you're just a fan of Shohei, you're like, dude, I thought he was done with the Angels. It's now just to that laughing territory of, oh, Shohei had a homer, a triple, you know, 8 strikeouts, no walks, over 6 scoreless innings. First guy to do it since, you know, makeup, whatever. 1921's Tubbs McKinstry. And it's like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Oh, and then the Angels lose 3-1.
Yeah. 6-4 loss.
Yeah. And that's been also, to some extent, Yamamoto this year as well, who, you know, who's been very much the bad luck pitcher for the Dodgers.
A lot of anti-Japanese sentiment coming out of this.
Yeah, that's people are saying that.
I'm not going to stand for it, dude.
Yeah, people have been talking about that. A lot of people have been saying it. But all that considered, man, the Dodgers starting rotation is perfectly positioned right now.
It is.
You have a deep postseason run. I mean, they are all pitching well. I mean, they are all healthy, knock on wood, fingers crossed. Everything is timed out perfectly. The offense has been looking so much better over the past month, but the bullpen, I think you said it perfectly, has been the definition of an Achilles heel for a baseball team. Literally. And this is if this bullpen was just slightly better, nobody would be questioning the Dodgers as favorites to win the World Series right now. So
if this bullpen was just like 25% better, they would have clinched the division last week.
Right. So no, like I said, 26 blown saves. If you just subtract 8 or 9 of them, they are right as of right now. They are 7 games behind, 6.5 games behind Milwaukee for best record in baseball. Like,
I'm not even being greedy. Just take 4 blown saves away throughout the whole year.
Take 4 away, and they have a bye week.
There you go. That's my point. That's my point. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And
so
Jesse, I think it's more indicative that this is who the Dodgers are. I think they are a wonderfully flawed team, and the come to Jesus moment is going to be in October when that first reliever comes in or that first ninth inning comes in, and it's like, here we go, you know, like, truth be thy name, baby.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting moment when the Dodgers have a 3-1 lead or 3-2 lead in the eighth inning. And that's going to be when we know for sure how this postseason is going to go.
The first batter is going to walk, and you'll hear the collectively Dodger stadiums going.
Yeah.
It's like, ah!
Yeah, the whole stadium's going to feel it. It could be much worse, Brandon. All things considered, it could be much worse.
Yep, to steal the words right out of your mouth, Jesse, the only thing that has blown harder than the Dodgers' bullpen has been the Detroit Tigers, who have officially blown a 10.5 game lead in the division.
Or what was 15.5 game lead.
It got up to 15.5 games.
Yeah, back in July, it was 15.5 games. And
they were flirting with the best record in baseball since April. I mean, talk about a collapse. Jesse, is this actually kind of similar to what we've seen with the Dodgers? You know, A.J. Hinch very famously was talking about bullpen pitching chaos last year. Is this simply an overworked pitching staff, Jess, or is this something bigger at play?
I think this is what happens when you have, like, and I love Zach McKinstry, but when you have Zach McKinstry as like one of your offensive pillars of your baseball team, this is what's going to happen, because he's not a star. And like, he's going to struggle. Spencer Torkelson got off to a great start. He's really fizzled out in the second half, unfortunately. You know, they just don't have a good enough offense to carry them when the starting pitching struggles. And Tarik Skubal was Superman all year long. And he has one stretch where he wasn't bad. He just wasn't Cy Young Tarik Skubal. And then what happens? They just completely plummet. And, you know, there's an argument that it's the biggest collapse in the history of baseball, being 15.5 games. It was 12.5 on August 25th. That was 1 month ago tomorrow. They've lost 12.5 games in 29 games. So, you know, that's it's impressive. That's hard to do, dude. And, you know, I know that the pressure, the expectation of the Tigers isn't there like it is the Dodgers. So I guess so I can't compare it. I think that the Dodgers losing the division to the Padres would be a bigger collapse only because of expectations.
I agree.
But the Tigers, this is by far the biggest collapse. And just in terms of like, you know, kind of losing control of your own destiny. You know, they had it. And, dude, if they don't win the division, there's a chance they don't even make the playoffs.
That is wild, dude.
I mean, yeah, like,
you're in a similar predicament, dude.
Yeah, like, they are, as of right now.
Well, sorry, not to win the division, but you know what
right.
I mean.
Right, yeah, yeah. No,
but after having a playoff spot locked down all year.
As of right now, the Tigers are the sixth seed, right? But they are one game ahead of the Astros. So if they end up losing, if they get swept by the Guardians and the Astros win the next two, the Tigers would be out of the playoff spot.
That's some chaos, dude. I really like it.
They seemed like a lock. Like that nobody was even questioning it. And it just, yeah, that's got to be one of the worst collapses in the history of baseball. And, you know, I'm rooting for them to get it together. But, man, credit to the Cleveland Guardians. They have a negative run differential, and they've somehow found a way to turn their season around. So good for them. I mean, they were in the ALCS last year, so I guess it does make sense. It's really just a testament to how bad that division is.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Absolute caca water.
Yeah.
Speaking of caca water, dude. Just the color, the sentiment, and whatever. No disrespect. Our champagne toast and fryers had a little celebration, Jess. I don't know if you saw the video of Manny Machado, a shirtless Manny Machado, getting interviewed, reaping the moment of what do we call it? I guess a playoff clinch, an appearance clinch. Are we celebrating banners, or are we just happy to be invited to the dance now, Jess?
Yeah, I saw comments on social media posts of Manny shirtless, drinking champagne, and doing his interview, you know, like, kind of talking with a lot of confidence. And it was a Padre fan who said, Padre fan, I'm a Padre fan, and even I admit this is embarrassing. You know, they have every right to be excited about making the playoffs, but this is, you know, just a classic example of what we've been saying about the Padres, and just I think
it's little brother activities, man.
It just doesn't appear like you're not giving off vibes like we've been here before, and it's almost like you're celebrating because you want to have your moment of celebrating before getting eliminated or something. Like you almost know the outcome before it happens. And I think the Padres are good enough to win a World Series. I say that, but it's really not that big of a deal, but it makes you question like leadership and clubhouse culture. You know, that's where I always land. Cause I wouldn't want to see Mookie celebrating like that. I if it was Kike Hernandez, whatever. But Manny Machado was like, that's like if Mookie were doing it, you know, yeah. Like the leader of your franchise. You just don't want it.
You're one A guy, right?
Yeah.
There's no doubt. So to see Manny that just like satisfied, I don't know. I think it kind of explains a lot of like where the Padres are over the last half decade versus where the Dodgers have been over the last half decade. And it's, you know, people might say, oh, money, money. I mean, dude, Padres tried to sign Shohei. They spent a lot of money. Like, hey, man, this is big business out here in these streets. But it does make me just feel like, I don't know, celebration culture in baseball has gotten out of hand. I don't know if I, like as a kid, if I remember just like, clinching a playoff appearance warranted a full cigar, champagne, cover the lockers in plastic. It's a big party. I don't remember that. I want to know, like, dude, are you drinking like shittier champagne and like beer because it's the division? Like, you didn't even win to the division.
Right.
Does it come up? You get a little bit higher shelf stuff. Like, it's all well stuff right now. And then he gets like, you know, whatever, premium, ultra premium,
It comes off like you've accepted that you're not going to win the division. And it's like, dude, you're two games out with five to go. Like, you still, and like the Dodgers clinched their playoff spot like two or three nights ago. And like, I don't even remember a video going up on Dodgers social media.
I think they had a toast.
Okay. Sorry. You're right. They did have a toast. But yeah, that's like it's just a totally different thing. And I think it just, it's okay, I think, for teams that, like the Royals, if they were to, you know, make the playoffs or something. I know they got eliminated, but, you know, like the Mariners, if they win the division, I think that they'll celebrate. I think that'll be warranted because, you know, they haven't won a division in a long time. The Padres have made the playoffs four of the last 6 years, you know.
And I think winning the division is a huge accomplishment. That's a 162-game payoff. That is a real accomplishment that warrants a celebration. Yeah. I don't know that simply getting an invitation to the dance warrants it. I think it's much more like, hey, we did the bare minimum to meet our goal for the rest of the year, but job's not finished. You know what I mean? Job's not finished.
Yeah, I realize I kind of might be sounding like a boomer here. Like, it really doesn't bother me that much. But I think that they are at a point where like they should be more like the Dodgers in the way that they respond, because I think they're a good enough team to do it, and I think that they should sort of act like it. It doesn't come off like they're ever going to be a franchise on that level if you don't sort of act like you've been there before, is the way I'd put it. I don't know.
No,
whatever.
I like what you're saying, and I do agree, because I do think that the Padres are a great team, and I do think they have the talent to win the World Series, without a doubt. But, yeah, when, you know, to your point, when you blow up these milestones on the way to the goal, that ultimate goal, I feel like it does come off as, like, you're a little unserious, and you're using this more to, like, justify your talent or your whatever, as opposed to like, hey, I'm gonna celebrate when it's all over.
Speaking of Padres, I just got a news update that Ramon Laureano is gonna miss the opening round of the playoffs. He broke his finger.
That sucks.
That's a big loss for them because he was a huge pickup. He's been great. He's been one of their best players since they got him.
I think he cooled off a bit before getting hurt, but that is still just what a loss.
It's big.
Heal up quick. I want to see every team play to their, you know, fullest and healthiest capabilities come October. So,
yep.
Speedy recoveries, Ramon, dude. But Jess, last bit of news, and it's a big one. baseball, going to be using that ABS system next year, dude. Robot umps. Heard it here first. Maybe a new name for the pod. Who knows? Jess, we're in the future. It's now. What Chinese algorithm do you want running our automatic balls and strikes?
Well, I think this just shows that it was a big success in the minor leagues. What was your question exactly? Say it again. What was the question that you asked me about ABS? I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question because you cut out for a second.
Oh, nothing. Not much. How are you doing?
Okay. All right. Well,
I was teasing. I was just saying what Chinese AI algorithm do you want
okay.
running our ABS system?
Whatever TikTok is run on, we'll be.
Dude,
on
there it is.
Yeah. So, this is a testament to the success that they had in the minor leagues this year. It's not much of a surprise. I think we will talk much more about this in the off season, and we'll get into it and sort of think how it's going to be implemented. But we got a little taste of it in the minor leagues this year, in the preseason this year. And I think that it worked out pretty well. I'm gonna be a little unpopular here. I'm gonna miss the days of managers being able to argue balls and strikes, and you know, where like challenging it is gonna take some of those moments away. So it's bittersweet. I know it's what's best for the game. I know that this is what the game needs. But I'm going to miss that part of the game when, you know, pitchers can get mad at umpires without challenging a call, you know, and managers can get mad at umpires. I think it's just a great part of baseball that's part of the pastime, man, is yelling at the umpire. It's just, I love it.
It's one of my favorite things about baseball is yelling at an umpire. I love learning their names and just yelling goofy baseball.
You have a scapegoat, dude. You have a built-in scapegoat. Like yesterday's game, the Blue Jays versus the Yankees, George Springer hits a ball over the third baseline that gets called foul, and it was a wrong call. It would have been a two-run double, and the Blue Jays would have taken the lead. Yeah, but also within the next pitch was outside, called strike three against Springer. So two bad calls in a row. It wasn't Blue Jays Yankees, was it? It was it Blue Jays Yankees?
No, it was Blue Jays Red Sox.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Either way, but the Yankees and Yankees fans were commenting on it. That's why I said that. But yeah, so two bad calls in a row that would have not happened. If ABS wasn't. So I guess it's something that we do need. It is important, but I'm going to miss, you know, you're not going to see George Springer throwing his bat and going crazy and getting upset if that doesn't happen, you know? So.
Well, an upset George Springer is always something I like to see.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind it. I thought it was a great call. You know, like you said, the human element, hey, looked fair to me. Maybe I wasn't. Umpires got the final call. Turns out it was a foul ball, strike three. Sit down, chump. Take it back to Toronto, dude.
That's right.
George Springer, dude.
Brando, this was a fun one, buddy. We'll be back next week with maybe we'll do a little pre-playoff episode, discuss. We'll recap the regular season, do a post-mortem, and then we'll preview the playoffs and look at the playoff roster and go through all of it and, you know, talk ourselves into why the Dodgers won't break our hearts this October, and they're going to repeat as champions. So,
oh man, Jess, my anxiety is on high, and I'll believe it when I see it, dude. I want to believe in this team, but they got to show me something. Let's close out the division. Let's finish out the month of September strong, and let's just get through this damn wild card. We got a championship to win, boys. Let's go, dude. This is our year. We're going back to back. Hello, can you hear it? It's our goats, dude. We're passing the torch. Let's do this. Jesse, do you feel me?
I feel you.
Thank you.
I'm feeling the buzz in the air, and I'm feeling that all of the people at home should like, comment, subscribe, share,
whoa!
Do all that. And make sure you watch us. Just keep sticking around, because we're going to keep making fools of ourselves and having a good old gay old time. So keep sticking around, buddy.
That's right. Jess, it's always a pleasure. Blue Collar Boys, Deferred Collusion. We're out of here.
We out.
See you, Big Daddy.